Wait a minute, wait a turn on the radio. My homie got a new show and it's time to play it though. I hope you got in tune. He talking bigger business. He make a lot of moves.
Welcome to the Startup Showcase. I'm your host, Scott Catoon, and this is TechNori Live from WGN Radio, where Chicago's top tech founders and entrepreneurs come to share their story. Joining me live in studio with some ice cream, which is, do we call this ice cream? We're going to find out in a minute if this is ice cream or not. Eric and Jesse is the co-founder of Fronin. Welcome to the show.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Is this ice cream? What do I have here? What am I about to eat?
Yeah, so it's basically a non-dairy ice cream alternative.
It smells delicious.
Thanks. Yeah, we hope you enjoy it.
Oh, I will. Well, you're going to find out because I'm going to eat it right here on the show. So before we kind of jump into this, is normally we talk to tech companies and startups and things, and you guys have kind of a unique background as well as coming through, you know, the University of Chicago, which we've had Polsky Center people on here all the time, including the director. We're big fans and partners of what they do. So I guess without further ado, why don't we have you first tell us what exactly this is that I'm about to eat on the show?
Sure. So it's a banana-based nice cream, you could call it.
Nice.
Nice on the stomach, low calorie, low glycemic index, and free of the big eight allergens. And the idea really started last summer. So I have celiac disease and dairy sensitivity, and I was eating a lot of ice cream and non-dairy ice cream that wasn't agreeing with my stomach. So I started to feel sick, and I was really sick of compromising as well, because more indulgent ice creams have a lot of calories and fat and sugar, whereas the lighter options are very icy. So I wanted something that was indulgent and healthy, and that's when Eric introduced me to his family recipe.
Yeah,
so this is a great family recipe. So maybe I'm biased because I'm a huge banana fan. Like, I'll eat bananas with anything. I'm indulging in the cinnamon version. So I'm looking at this. There's only 4 ingredients, 300 calories per pint, which is insane. The coolest part for me is I look at, earlier this morning, I was actually eating an RX bar. I don't know if you saw RX got bought by Kellogg's for $600 million. I grew up with the RX guys. And one of the main things that they always threw first off, it was built to solve a problem that they personally had. So that resonates. And usually companies that are built to solve a problem that they actually have, they understand the problem better and they solve it obviously much better. The other part that they did well, which you guys also do well, is this minimalist thing where I don't want to have to, like you were mentioning, Jesse, diet stuff. Diet stuff always ends up having 8,000 ingredients that you have to combine to make it taste like something that's real. This has 4 ingredients. And it's pretty simple. I love how this has all come together. Eric, this is a family recipe. So you guys have been eating banana ice cream like your whole life?
Yeah, pretty much. I grew up with this. My dad's grandfather had a small store up in Maine, and he was selling chocolate dip frozen bananas. And one day they just decided to blend them up and see what happened. And it came out similar to this. So we just took the recipe, tweaked it a little bit, and started sharing.
Do you owe royalties to the family?
Yeah. Well, I'll pay him back, yeah.
I bet so. So tell me kind of, like, obviously I get where this came from. Tell me a little bit about your journey bringing this to the market, because, I mentioned the aforementioned RX bar. It is, how do I put this? There's a lot of people who try to launch food products, and usually it doesn't go well because the food product and produce industry in general is so family legacy run. And the vast majority of people, if you don't understand like how to get on into a market to begin with and then get on a shelf and all this other stuff, usually ends up putting them out of business before they even get their product in front of people. So what was your backgrounds and sort of like the approach you've taken to get to the point where I'm sitting here on the show eating this food?
Sure. So
it's delicious. Bowl.
Thank you. Yeah, so this really started at the University of Chicago. We would just make it for fun and share it with our friends, and they loved it, and they were like, why can't we buy this in stores? And fortunately, around that time, the College New Venture Challenge at the Booth School was going on, so we thought, you know, this would be a really cool thing to enter. We'll see how it does. We kind of just did it for fun, and people started enjoying the samples that we brought, and eventually we wound up winning, which was really cool.
So I would say.
Yeah. So we got some initial funding.
It always helps to feed the people who are going to give you money.
Exactly.
Definitely.
Even on Shark Tank, it works. Every time they hand out food and it's good, they always get funded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And then we were accepted into the Polsky Summer Accelerator with 10 other teams. And we were actually the only college team there, and the rest were Booth students. So it was a really great experience to learn a lot from them. And then we pitched at the end of summer at Demo Day, and we actually wound up tying with a Booth team for the Judges' Choice Award.
Nice.
Which was really cool. So again, we got some samples out there, met a lot of people. And while we were in the Polsky Summer Accelerator, we were just hustling into stores, which was basically us just bringing samples and being like, try this product. We're students. We're really excited. And people were very receptive to it. So that's really how we started initially getting into stores, just bringing samples.
I feel like that's always the way to go. I think one of the most underutilized, I mean, everyone says hustle and they say they hustle. I don't know what that means for the most part, but one of the biggest things that I've noticed with startups that come in here, particularly again in the food space, is they focus on building this big complex growth marketing plan and all this other stuff, raise capital, buy product, buy inventory and things. When in reality, all you need to do is, not that it's easy, but all you have to do really is just go out and sell 1,000 units. Like, just go out and hit every store you possibly can to get your food and your product in front of them. And obviously you guys are doing that. What would you say in general are the pieces that you probably did not have a clue? Like, are any of you guys from the food industry?
No.
So, I mean, other than obviously the family legacy, yeah. banana stop. What are some of the things that you completely were like blindsided by when you got into this industry? Like, you did not think was going to be a thing, and it's a thing.
Yeah, I think just thinking about a big term, sourcing, and where we're getting our ingredients from, and how to maintain that we ensure it's all organic and non-GMO, and those aspects, we weren't sure how to really navigate into this industry. It seems like the people who are established in there have more experience, and it's a little bit harder for people who are just completely new to the field to break in. So we really utilized the Booth alumni and UChicago alumni to help us try and navigate through that.
Strong alumni network. I'm surprised they didn't make you come up with like a maroon raspberry flavor just to get started with, though.
Yeah, we could market it that way.
Maybe next.
I would say Christmas is around the corner. I would send a bunch of maroon-colored one of these about every Booth graduate in the history of Chicago. Yeah. So the next piece is here, though. Like, it's one thing to get the product out. You've got that done. It tastes delicious. Obviously, in limited batch, it's easy to control the taste and all that stuff. As you start to scale in, how do you plan on building out this company? Like, what are the things that you're planning on trying to do to sort of get to the next level with this?
Sure. So we're actually in that in-between stage between doing the process ourselves and finding a co-manufacturer. So right now we've been searching for the right co-manufacturer to take it to the next level so we can go full force into more stores. We're actually rebranding our packaging, keeping that simple idea down, but making it a little bit more colorful so it stands out on shelves. That's one thing that we really
talk to me about the branding a little bit. Like, so how, you know, where you are, I mean, obviously it's quite simple. For those of you listening, can't watch, it's a white tub that has their brand on it, but it says four ingredients, which is key, and it tastes awesome. So when it comes to branding on this, walk me through a little bit about where you are in the future. This is obviously, it's understandable that, like, as students, you have limited resources. Like, it's not like you can hire a brand marketing team to come up with some crazy, you know, multiple versions of this and do group testing. What do you see as, like, the reason behind the branding and what the brand stands for? And then let's talk a little bit about, like, how you see it looking in the future.
Sure. Yeah, so I think there are a few key elements that we want to make sure we're always really portraying very easily and very quickly to someone who's just walking down the ice cream aisle and they're looking at all these different options. We want to just really embrace our identity of being a banana-based ice cream. It's unique. There aren't that many products in the market like it, and we're proud of it. We want to be proud that we're fruit-based. We never dilute the product with water or anything like that. No artificial sugars, sweeteners, or preservatives. And I think that that's really portrayed just by exemplifying how few ingredients it is. Just 3-4 ingredients per pint.
Well, let me tell you this. I think there's two things. We've had several companies come through here that have had a lot of success, including RX Bar. Tiesta Tea is another one, stands out. One of the things, and you don't have to go this far, but literally Tiesta Tea actually has the founder of Jimmy John's on their board and is an investor. So they went that far when it came to like finding out how to build a brand. May I recommend on this one, you've got such a perfect, simple product that if you look at like Jimmy John's wrapping and packaging for like the potato chips, it's like, this is color is this one. Like, the blue one is salt and vinegar. Like, you just know it. I think unless you plan on having like a huge, differentiating skew of different types of ice creams, going absolutely flat simple is the way to go. And one idea that just comes to mind when I think about this is you were just talking about, Eric, the wanting to stay close to home on the banana. I assume you guys have seen the like chocolate covered banana frozen aisle.
Yeah.
What if you guys actually had individual servings that you sold instead of a pint?
Yeah.
In the shape of a banana, but it was colored at the flavor of whatever this is, cinnamon or whatever. Like, that to me, she's nodding at you like we already talked about this.
No, it's funny you mentioned it. Yeah, we're actually going to be coming out with little 4-ounce containers. They'll just be single serves. They'll have a spoon attached to them so you can just take it and even do it at a catering event or just different scenarios like that too.
I think if you could find a way to make this into an actual banana pop, that would be money. Like, I just totally brilliant. Where do you see the challenges upcoming? Like, what are the things that you look like you're facing right now that you think, you know, either you need some expertise and you need some help in? Like, what are some of the things that you think are the next barrier to get over before you take this thing nationally?
I think co-manufacturing is definitely something that we're looking for. It's a little bit tricky because we can't just go to someone who does traditional ice cream.
Yeah.
The equipment's not the same. We use a unique piece of equipment that's not really easy to come by.
Sure.
So we need to be able to work with someone who's willing to either acquire that or work out a deal with us. But we can't just go to a co-manufacturer who doesn't deal in frozen goods whatsoever either.
Yeah.
We need the big walk-in freezer. And then on the flip side, we also need the distributor who can work with us as a grower.
And the allergens. I mean, you also have to go into a place where they also don't make, like, peanut-based everything, whatever, because that's also, of course, a challenge.
Exactly.
Have you guys been – is it, like, local? Are you trying to stay local with that sort of stuff and maintain it, or are you open to going national? What's the –
Yeah, so ideally we're starting local so we can actually be there when the batches are being made and have an integral part in the process. And then once it's really standardized, that would be the time where we would definitely expand.
Yeah, I was going to say, because like, at this point, like the success rate for you guys is going to be very, very much predicated on you guys overseeing quality every step along the way. So like being able to do this locally and control it and make sure that you get like a small area of Chicago that this is popular in and then grow to another one, then get to grocery stores and then get, you know, Whole Foods and put it on Amazon. You got to be selling. This thing has to be selling on Amazon. Like that's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, we're looking into online sales now.
Hey Alexa, send me some, you know, delicious banana.
Yeah.
Tell me now. The last part of this that I really am interested in finding out about both of you is, like, is the entrepreneurial thing? Is that something that like that was what hit you and you wanted to find something you could do on your own, or was it like this product and you still may end up going to get a regular job? Like, what's the I always like to find out from the founders that create stuff, because one of the unique things is people will always tell you that founders are born and they're not made and stuff. And it's like, yeah, I mean, I think that you just like a risk, like you have an insane risk tolerance. I'll give you that. Like that's an entrepreneurial trait. But for the most part, people find a problem, they just try to solve it. And then like somebody calls them an entrepreneur down the road. And it's like, I wasn't even trying to do that. Like, is that something that comes natural to both of you, or is it just, I'm just working on my business and call me whatever?
Yeah, so we both actually had full-time job offers.
Nice.
That we did not wind up taking to do Fronin full-time, which was definitely a risk. And I think it was something that we gave a lot of thought to, especially coming right out of college. This is our first real-world gig.
Yep.
So really trying to navigate it for ourselves, which has been challenging. But I think we've just learned so much and so many things about the food industry as well that we would not have ever even expected.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, I mean, I can tell you for what it's worth, you know, I don't know where your job offers were from, obviously, but you're probably not going to get a better, like, holistic experience across learning what business is about. If you were planning on taking jobs in business, you're not going to get a better, like, this is like a rapid MBA, only, you know, it's like you go bankrupt. But at any rate, you know, this is very cool stuff. Congratulations on all the success. What is a place where right now can people go and buy this product?
Yeah. Yeah, so we're in 11 stores right now. We're in a few down in Hyde Park, close to campus. We're selling on the campus markets there, so we have the little single serves there, too, if you want to check those out.
Nice.
We're in a few locations downtown. We're in the Foxtrot locations, so River North, West Loop, those areas. We're also in Gene's Sausage up north, Galleria Market downtown, and we're going to be expanding into Goddess and Grocer at the beginning of 2018.
Wow, nice. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Very cool. Thank you guys so much for coming in.
Thank you
for sharing the ice cream. I haven't even eaten all day, so I'm like, this is fantastic. You can catch this episode and more at technoria.com, download the podcast on iTunes, and stay connected by following us on Facebook and Twitter @technoria, or follow me @Katoon. Boom, that's a wrap.